And at first, when I saw it, I was like, 3 hours by themselves. I can't do it. I'm not going to sign them up. But when they both went for that first one after the first day, I was like, 3 hours, bye. I got to admit, the first couple of times, I was like, now what do I do with my time now? You know, I'm sitting outside the window like, are you guys done yet? Counting down. Because the same way you were saying, how do they get socialized and how to get, you know, outside of the house, we have to remember to take that time for ourselves too. So I'll find something for me to do on my own.
A good kitchen produces good food, but a great kitchen brings people together. Welcome to Meet Me in the Kitchen, a podcast inspired by Little Kitchen Academy and supported by Birkenstock, exploring the key ingredients to a meaningful life and how they are changing lives from scratch. Here's my dad and your host, Scott Rintoul.
If you're a parent, you probably understand the constant debate about activities for your child. Which sports should I put them in? Should I expose them to more of the arts? Where's the line between providing opportunities and overscheduling your kid? It's a difficult juggling act, to say the least, and it can be tough when both you and your children see what other families are doing. Not everyone has the same amount of time and/or resources, but it still leads to plenty of second-guessing along the way. I know it has for me. In my estimation, the parents who get it right are the ones who let their children lead the way. When their children show genuine interest, they're supportive without an ounce of expectation or pressure. Sasha Foster comes across as one of those parents. The mother of two seems to have opened a number of doors for her children and then followed them when they've decided which ones to walk through. Sasha's teenage daughter Brooklyn and her soon-to-be 9-year-old Trenard both walked through the door to Little Kitchen Academy, and inside, they found something they wanted to be a part of. Now, as it turns out, they also wanted to be a part of this podcast, and I was more than happy to invite Brooklyn, Trenard, and their mom, Sasha, to meet me in the kitchen. Sasha, I want to start with you, and there's so many places I could have gone because the children seem to have very diverse interests. You probably do as well. But I'll start with this. When people ask you about your two children, how do you describe them, Mom?
Oh, man. Like you just said, very different. Brooklyn is more quiet. She's very creative, but she's kind of quiet with it as well. Trenard, he will let you know exactly what he's doing. He wants you to see all his creativeness. Like right now, I'm going to tell you about everything. But they're great. It's always something new and exciting with them. You never know what you're going to get.
Well, that's like all children based on my experience. I've got two little girls of my own and you don't know what one day holds compared to the next. How did you get involved in the film/modeling business? Because I know both kids are involved.
Yeah, so I actually used to do it when I was younger. And then when Brooklyn was 3, we started with her and she loved it. And then when Trenard noticed that Brooklyn was getting mailbox money, like he called it, which was her checks that were coming, he decided he wanted some mailbox money also. And I mean, he's a complete character, so why not show it? And I mean, they love it. And it's so cool because they get to do things that we wouldn't do on a regular day. You know, today we might be filming something in 1960. Tomorrow we might be filming in outer space, you know? So it's pretty cool. It's a cool way to grow up experiencing different things that you really wouldn't do on a regular basis.
It certainly sounds that way to me as someone who didn't have involvement at that level. Brooklyn, how about you go first? What's your experience been like in, I guess, what we'll call the business?
It's been very interesting. I guess also get to see behind the scenes, like of how everything works, or like when people are watching a TV show and you're like, oh, I know how they set up that shot, or like the stunts or how everything happens. It's cool to see how everything works.
So do you gravitate more to the in front of the camera positions, or because you've learned about setting up shots, directing different elements of producing commercials, shows, movies, do you find that maybe your interest lends you to the creative side in that respect as well?
I like being in front of the camera, but I would also, in the future, I feel like I would be interested in more behind the scenes, like props or setting up like stunts or things like that.
How about you, Trenard? What's your experience been like?
My experience has been amazing. I've met a lot of famous people like Kevin Hart, Damian Lillard, all those people. And I enjoy doing voice acting, and I enjoy like different type of commercials and shows. I've been doing a lot of Nickelodeon shows, and I only did one Disney movie. But I've been doing a lot of things. And a couple of days ago, or months ago, I did another project.
So you're acting in all of these different films or shows or commercials. When you're having an opportunity to watch Netflix or whatever you want to watch on, what do you generally gravitate to?
Magic. Anything magic or things that he's worked on, like, to see if he can spot himself.
Things I've worked on.
Vampires.
Vampires.
On Netflix.
Yes. Supernatural things. There you go. Things I worked on.
Okay, so it's all over the map. Your interests are all over. That's great.
It's usually vampires, though, and then he goes down a whole rabbit hole of supernatural werewolves. Or vampire-type movies.
Mermaids.
Werewolves, yeah.
What's Halloween like at your house? Because you guys have access to all of these different things, and you've seen so many different things. Is that a big day for you guys?
Yes, and funny thing, for Halloween, I'm going to be an ostrich.
An ostrich?
Oh, yeah.
Inflatable costumes this year. Last year, they did Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Even though the other kids their age didn't know what that was because the movie's like from the 80s.
There was one house who had the animatronics. And it was
they had all the killer clowns.
They had like the biggest clown.
Yeah.
It was kind of scary, but it was cool.
So you're going to be an ostrich, Trinard. What about you, Brooklyn? Do you already have a plan, or are you going to wait till we get a little closer?
I don't know yet, and I really need to figure that out. But if it's inflatable, maybe I should be like a gumball or something, do you think?
That goes back into her quiet side. She's kind of reserved until like day of. Like, Mom, can you help me make this? And I'm like, where were you at the other 364 days? But yeah, I saw an inflatable gizmo costume that I want
to
do.
Something really scary happened to me on Halloween. I went to get candy on somebody's porch. And then just like this dude in like a devil or Grim Reaper suit just chased me into the street. And then like when I kept trying to walk back up, he kept hopping over the gate. He tried to keep running at me. It was like really scary.
Yeah, if that happens on any of the other 364 days of the year, it's even more scary. But on that day, you sort of have this acceptance that people are going to be doing things that are outside their comfort zone, right?
Right. Right.
Now, Sasha, I saw your eyes light up when we started talking about costumes as well. And you said that you had an acting background and a modeling background growing up. Do you still dabble in that world?
Not much. Sometimes I do. Like if they're booking something and they need a parent, I'm like, hey, I'm here anyways. You might as well use me. But right now I'm kind of in my momager mode. So I don't really book too many days for myself. So that way I could take them to set. I'm going to get back into it, though, yeah, pretty soon.
I love that term, momager, and that applies to, I imagine, not only their career, but the household as well. I know that both Brooklyn and Trinard do homeschooling. Was that as a result of going into the acting and modeling business, or was it the other way around that you chose that for them to give them the freedom to explore different things?
So it was kind of half and half. So after COVID, they were really afraid to go back to school. So just to keep them more comfortable, we kept going with the homeschooling, and it worked out better because that way they can be on self-paced schedules and they won't have to worry about missing so much school when they're on set. And you might know, but when they're on set, they still have to do 3 hours of school. There's always studio teachers on set that make them do work. So I shouldn't say make them do work. Make sure they get their work done. So, I mean, they still are in school. And it was just to keep them on the right pace instead of just missing all the days of school when they were on set.
And sadly, I haven't been to school since kindergarten. I haven't been to public school. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, a brick and mortar. He's been homeschooled since kinder. Brooklyn has been homeschooled since the end of sixth grade. And she's in the 10th grade now. He's in the 3rd grade.
Okay, so Brooklyn, I'll start with you then. How do you find it doing the homeschooling and your own pace and being able to balance your competing interest as compared to going to school on regular hours, if we want to call them that, Monday to Friday?
I feel like homeschooling is better, especially with like my job and everything. And I feel like it's more flexible and more time to do like other things where you would just do your 3 hours of school and then you're free to do whatever you like.
And what about you, Trinard? I know you only went to kindergarten at a bricks and mortar school, as your mom called it, but do you like the learn at your own pace philosophy?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I like to learn at the comfort of my house, and I like when we do Zooms, because when we do Zooms, we get to do yoga and writing, all these coloring, blah, blah, blah. And then also, but you know, different things, etc. And then also, we'll have meetings. That's also pretty fun because we go to the library. I get to check out some books and take them home. And also, another fun thing is I get to play with my dog while I do my school. So,
Yeah, they don't let my kids bring their dog to their school. So I hear you. I think they would like that a lot. Maybe I should look into that. It does mean for you, Sasha, taking on the responsibility of managing the schooling, not just the career aspects or other activities that you're going to build in. How has it been for you?
I'm fighting for my life. No. They're making it seem like it's awesome. And I'm like, no, you know, you have to kind of try to draw a line, because even though I'm mom, I have to be principal. And at first with Trinard, he was kind of like, I'll be like, okay, let's get up and do your work. And he's like, well, who said? And I'm like, well, me. Me as mom and principal said. And he's like, well, I mean, if I don't do it, then what? So you're kind of like, no, you know, you have to get in that mind frame. And I heard Brooklyn say it's much easier. She's another one. We have to drag her out of the bed. No homework in your pajamas. No homework in the bed. You know, get up, get at a table, kind of get uncomfortable.
During school hours.
Yes, she likes to crochet. So she'll be like, I'm reading. And the whole time she's crocheting a whole blanket. So you have to find a balance to make sure that they're actually working. But like I said, I like it because we're getting to spend time together. We're pretty much together all day. And you know, sometimes books have stuff when you're in class and you're reading it and you just have to take it for what it's worth, you know, what's in the book. But if they have something here that they're reading, I can kind of talk to them about it at that time. And, you know, when we went to London for my birthday last year or the year before, and he was actually on the chapter of London and the Big Ben and the Thames River. So it was cool. He got to read about it and, you know, hands on right there. Yeah. So it's cool. You can adventure while you're learning.
Well, you mentioned a number of different things that I'm interested in asking you about. And one of them is that home also doubles as school. And I think a lot of people right now, myself included, if you work from home a lot, there's a great flexibility aspect to that. And you can come and go as you please. And you don't have to work what people would consider office hours. But at the same time, you're always at the office. Or in the case of the kids, you're always at school. And sometimes you might need a break from that. How do you balance that for the children?
Their school offers a nice, they have a list, a vending list of outside activities that they can do. And about twice a month, they have like a park day meetup for the kids to go to. And actually, we're going to one tomorrow. We went to one last week. There was like horseback riding and petting zoo and bunnies. I don't like bunnies. Yeah, there's bunnies and all kinds of stuff there. And then so tomorrow, they're going to have like the San Pedro Craft Market, and they're going to do glass art and so I try to make sure whenever they have those community days that we at least go to that. And, you know, just, I mean, get out as much as you can. If you're doing PE, like Brooklyn has a PE log that she has to do. It could be us walking around the block, roller skating outside. Now you can mark that down as PE. He just did PE this morning. It was on Zoom. But we just try to break it up and make sure we get outside, change up the atmosphere a little, and then get back to work when we can.
I can't continue without asking why you don't like bunnies.
I don't know. It's something about the eyes and the teeth. I'm going to ask my mom if I was ever attacked by a bunny. I remember our neighbor having like one bunny. And then all of a sudden next week, like the neighborhood was like full of bunnies. So I'm guessing that bunny was pregnant. The same thing happened with a hamster. I had one hamster. And when I woke up the next morning, there was like 98 little pink things in the cage. And so I had a hamster for a total of about 1.5 days, and my mom put it right outside. So I don't know. There must have been something that happened to me with the bunny, because I don't like them. I don't trust them.
They're cute. No. But they are scary.
Cute and deadly. No. They like to bother me with that. There was a huge bunny at that petting zoo that I was not ready for.
It was like the size of my dog.
It was the size of a horse.
It was big.
I think we need to get it tested. I'm not sure that's a bunny after all. We might need to send that to a lab.
Yeah, that was a hybrid of something for sure.
I do want to come back to homeschooling for a second, because as a parent myself, I've learned a number of things about homeschooling actually through this podcast that I didn't know before. And I think there are some misconceptions about homeschooling. And one of them is, Well, how will the kids get socialized? They need to be around other children. How are they going to be able to interact? When people ask you that question, Sasha, how do you respond?
I mean, with the same thing, letting them know that we go to the park days. They have time to go outside. There's other kids that are homeschooled that will be outside also. With Trenard, it's really good. He's doing Abbott Elementary right now. He's been doing it since the pilot episode. Brooklyn has also. That's where their socialization comes from when they're on set. A lot of those kids are homeschooled also.
And it's also literally like my actual public school.
Yeah, that's like a real, not to get off subject, but the creator of the show, she had posted a card that Trenard made for her on her Twitter. And someone was asking like, oh, you know, I bet it's fun on set for those kids because, you know, it's like going to school. And I had to let them know, like, you know, for my son and much of the other children that are homeschooled, that's an actual school for them. They get to go in because a lot of them don't see school buildings, you know, so they get to go in, hear the bells, even though it's on set. The teachers, the studio teachers on that set are awesome because the rooms that they have for the kids, they'll let them do like classwork and put it up on the wall and things like that.
So personalize their schoolroom. Yeah. Make it like more intimate.
So it's like a real classroom for them, even though they're going to set to go to work. But with getting back to the homeschool, you socialize them by making sure that they're getting out. You know, a lot of people, too, they're thinking it's like, oh, Little House on the Prairie, you have 17 kids in one room reading from one book. It's not like that. And with the Zooms also, because they'll give us a list of things to do for the week of classes that they can log into at different times. And when you get in there, there can be up to 30 kids on that Zoom. So they're still getting time to be with other children.
And also, for 2 years straight, Abbott Elementary has been my school.
Yes.
It's been my school for a very long time. I kind of treat it as like my little school because inside of the rooms we do our work in, they have like desks for us. Then like we do reading time, like not reading time, but story time, I meant to say. Mm-hmm. And then like the teachers will come, tell us to sit down, and they'll have us do some reports of books also. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of things in the classroom.
And you guys sit down and have lunch together, like in the lunchroom. Oh, yeah. So yeah,
it and it's out. It's a school we get paid at, so.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
I could go for that. I think a lot of people would opt in for that. Brooklyn, I want to ask you, work, school, all of those different things, the lines can get blurred and you're still a kid. You still want to have fun. How do you keep it fun when you're on set?
A lot of time there's people my age. I think one of my most fun like set school experiences was, it was a show called Put Your Best Foot Forward, I believe. Yeah, yes. It was Best Foot Forward, but the working name was Ski. And it was really fun. We were like roaming the halls and stuff. You get to, or like there was costume days on the set. It was really fun.
Yeah.
I think it's just about finding like a balance between things, if that makes sense.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And I think that's basically what life is. If we want to look at it, it's finding moderation and it's finding balance between a lot of different interests. And it sounds like you guys have a lot of those interests. One of them, and the reason we're talking here today, is Little Kitchen Academy. So Sasha, I'll begin with you. How did this first come into your life and how does it actually work with homeschooling and the philosophy that you have for educating your children?
So going back to the homeschool offering vendors list and different classes outside curriculum that they offer, Little Kitchen Academy was on there. And at first when I saw it, I was like, 3 hours by themselves. I can't do it. I'm not going to sign them up. But when they both went for that first one after the first day, I was like, 3 hours, bye.
And she goes mall walking.
She goes to everywhere. Everywhere.
She goes to get food without us.
I'll be outside the door like, yes, 3 hours.
She goes to Shake Shack, bro. She goes everywhere.
Hey, but no, but it's awesome. I just saw it and I thought it would be something different. His dad was a chef at a golf course. So he always wanted to cook and help out in the kitchen. And I figured, you know, hey, what a better way to do this? And they can actually learn food safety, food handling safety. And we just love it. We love it. It's great. And I think everyone's kids should sign up.
Just she loves when we bring home the delicious food.
Oh, yes. I'm the taste tester. I eat everything.
And so you should. That's part of the joy of cooking. It's not just for yourself. It's for the people that you care about as well. Trenard, you lit up when I mentioned Little Kitchen Academy. So why don't you tell me a little bit about your experience there?
It was very fun when I first went. I met a lot of different people and a lot of different teachers there. Also, my first time we ever went, we made fried rice. We got to use a pan. We used many different things. I think we also learned, like, different knife safeties to cut up some things. I forgot what we cut up. It was, like, a couple of months ago. Years ago.
Years ago, yeah.
But it was very fun. And also, like, when we get done making, like, cooking our things, we wash our dishes we used. We spread down our table and clean it. We would
sit down and eat together.
Oh, yeah, we sit down and eat together, but there's the last cleaning thing we do. We get our little broom and then the dustpan, and we would, like, sleep. And then when we finish sleeping, we get to sit down and eat. And then after we finish eating, we would bring our plates and things to the back and then the washroom for the next time we come.
What about your saying at the table?
Oh, we have to say, bon appetit, it's time to eat before we eat.
I like that. I like that. What's the favorite thing for you so far that you've been able to make?
For Lunar New Year, we made dumplings. That was very good because we got to, like, seal the dough. They're very good. They tasted very amazing. I had soy sauce on mine. And then also, I did a challenge. I drank, like, the soy sauce. they gave us ceramic cups with soy sauce in it, and I drank the soy sauce for a challenge.
Was it yourself?
It was against
yourself.
No, it was against Luis.
Okay.
And then what was it called? Also, I was very. I feel so nauseous after that because I just gulped a bottle of salt and soy sauce. So, but the dumplings were very good because I put a lot of hard work into it. I put 3 hours of hard work into it actually, and then we had vegetables in it, a lot of things. Because also, Little Kitchen Academy is a vegetarian, well, not vegetarian, but we don't use meat there. Mm-hmm. So we ended up just using vegetables in our dumplings because you don't know if certain kids are vegetarian or not.
It's a great point. And you mentioned a number of different things in that answer, Chenard, that I know the people at Little Kitchen Academy love to hear. And I know as a parent, I love to hear as well. Because Sasha, as you know, at home, you might not have a little ramekin of soy sauce and try it. But at Little Kitchen Academy, not that they're doing challenges like this all the time, but the children are encouraged to try different things, whether it's off the living food wall or different things that they're making. Add whatever you want within the confines of what we're trying to do today and make it your own. And as a mom, I imagine that's pretty heartwarming to hear your child experimenting and pushing their own boundaries.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, he'll come home and tell me about spices that they picked off the living food. And I'm like, I don't know what that is, but I'm glad that you have that opportunity. Brooklyn gets kind of mad because with the 13 through 18 class, they have them make more food to survive. With him, they get to make fun stuff, desserts. So Brooklyn will see, they always have the menu up on the board of what they're going to make for the day. And Brooklyn will be like, Pop-Tarts? We had to make grilled cheese sandwiches, you know? Like, she's always mad. I love it either way because they use a lot of ingredients that I wouldn't think that's not in my, you know, usual day-to-day thing. So it's great. I love it that they get to learn new things and think outside the box. He'll eat anything. Brooklyn, not so much. But but it's great.
Well, and look, I told you before, I've got two kids of my own. And I know as a parent, when you try to get your children to try things, there's a bit of hesitation on their part. But when it's their choice and they're exposed to all of these different options and they get to choose, it makes a world of difference. And I want to find out about Brooklyn's experience in a second. But before we do, the other thing that Trinard mentioned was knife skills, using an oven. Those are two red flags for parents a lot of times in their own kitchen because they're worried about what might happen and they're just trying to protect their children. When you heard that this is what he was going to be doing, what was your reaction?
Like I said, I was nervous. And then I'm like, he's in there for 3 hours burning the kitchen down. But once you get there, you see everybody has their own little hot pot. Everyone has their own little mixer, their own little blender. Everything is like right in front of them. They have like the little step stools set up for them. It's a really safe environment. It's good. And they always have, what is it, two or more teachers?
Two, yes.
Okay, I was going to say two. Depending on the age, I'm sure they have more. Because I think sometimes with Trinard, I might see like three kind of floating. With Brooklyn, there might be like one to two because it's older children. But it's very safe the way they have it set up. The knives are
plastic,
but they're sharp enough to cut, and or they'll have.
For the teenagers, theirs are like more, not metal, but theirs are like more sharp on the ends and like bigger, basically.
Yeah, so everything is safe for them. And, you know, it's not like this overwhelming 16-eye stove that they're working on. It's just a little hot plate right in front of them so they can manage that and not be overwhelmed. Little ratatouilles.
Oh, and also we have our own stations, and there's like some boards with our names on it so you can know which station is ours. And then also we don't just use the knife with no safety. They teach us different like ways to hold the knife, like bear claws, how you hold the things you cut. And they also teach us a safety position where you put the knife in front of you facing the other way.
Yeah, they're really good with their knife skills, and they've developed that progressive knife set as well in conjunction with House of Knives so that there is a graduated entry into using the knives, which I think when you hear that as a parent, you go, okay, so maybe they're not taking out the long chef knife and we're starting with that. Brooklyn, I promised I would ask, and I'm very curious to hear what your experience has been like as a teenager in this program.
My experience has been great. It's also a good way of socializing, as you said, with homeschool and everything. You get to meet more people. And my favorite part is just like experimenting with things and also just having fun with like other kids.
So when you say experimenting with things, what type of dishes do you like to make if you're making them at home outside of Little Kitchen Academy, or maybe a recipe that you've taken from there that maybe you're replicating now at home?
My favorite thing that we made was churros. I love the dessert that we made. Anything that was dessert was good. One time I got to take home the dough from the churros and I got to make it for like the rest of the day or the week or something. It was cool. Desserts, pretty much.
They usually, if they do baking and stuff, they bring home the rest of the dough, and they always have a little bit left over to bring home. I eat it in the car, but yes, it doesn't make it quite home. But yeah, they always give the, if they make enough dough and whatnot, enough of the recipe, they always have a lot to bring home.
So that's and nice. Also, I made scones. It was a breakfast category for what we made, and the scones, they were good. And when I got home, since my mom braids, one of her clients actually...
We ate everything.
Yeah, they ate everything, but they paid for it. They paid me $5.
So I would suggest, if you have multiple children, put them all in, so that way you can have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You know, you can get all three. The full course meal off of them.
Well, there's so many different benefits to it. I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I seem to learn more every time I talk to a family or I talk to somebody who's associated with one of the programs. Brooklyn, I want to come back to you because I saw your television segment when you were on talking about your experience at Little Kitchen Academy. And one of the things that struck me that you said that you enjoyed about the program is that it's okay to make mistakes. Can you describe what you mean by that within the environment of Little Kitchen Academy?
Starting off, I'm a clumsy person, and like a lot of times I'm spilling things, or like I'm like, oh, I skipped a step or something like that. But they let you draw back and like take a second. They're like, okay, they'll tell you how to fix it. Or they say, you know what, it'll work just fine. Everything will turn out good. They're very open to like experimenting, and they let you, it's okay to make mistakes, you know? Yeah, you learn from it.
Well, and you're learning from probably some of the other people you're there in class with as well. Somebody might throw something into their dish that you didn't think about, and maybe you consider doing it in yours. You're sitting around that community table at the end, as you described a little bit earlier. The other thing that struck me in that answer when I was watching that segment with you, Brooklyn, is that you said, I've been able to make some friends there. Is it in the actual cooking that that happens for you? Is it when you're sitting around at the end and you guys are all eating the delicious food that you've made?
I'll say in the cooking, because it's interesting to see like what each individual person adds to their food. Like there's this one guy, his name is Tanner, and he was really obsessed with cheese and lime, and we had to make something with lime. I think we had to add it to like our cookies, and he would just like ate 4 limes. It's kind of chaotic, but it's very like fun to see what each person does in like their cooking process. He was sick after too.
Oh, speaking of like people eating things, when we made salad, I'm not sure if we used bananas. We had something with bananas, but I don't think it was a salad, but we had something with bananas, and we didn't eat the bananas. We all, like, everyone in the class, we were so goofy, and we, like, used the bananas as a phone. It was so funny. We put it up to our ears and pretended to talk to everyone. Like, if there's a station in front of us, we would get the banana and pretend to talk to them. Or if there's a station, like, next to us, we would talk to them. It was so funny.
I love it. I love it because despite all of the technological advances that we've made, it still goes back to things that I did when I was a kid and probably your mom did when she was a kid too.
Exactly. Yeah, I like to sit outside and watch them because they do have fun while they're cooking. It's not like, you know, they're not raging and stuff, but they do let them have a little fun and then they'll reel them back in and, you know, keep them back on track. But it's not just the like, do this, do that, this ingredient. You know, it's not like a drill sergeant type of environment. When Brooklyn first started with her teenage classes, there was one kid who would come to the mall. I'm not sure if his parents were just like, okay, we're going to drop you off and you go up to your class. But I think like the first class, I saw him. I didn't know he was supposed to be in the class because I just saw him walking back and forth, you know, with his friends hanging out. And he would kind of stop at the window and look and then keep going. And then I guess later on, he decided, okay, it looks cool in there. I'm going to stop in. So he did go in. And I guess he had a good time because he made sure he came back every time on time for class. So, and they would be in there laughing, having a nice time while they were cooking. So it's cool, especially for the teenagers, with her being homeschooled. And then just with teenagers now, they take a long time to warm up to each other. But I do like to sit outside and watch them. They do have a good time. They're talking to each other and having a good time and making friends. So yeah, it's not just only you're coming out with a good meal. You're coming out with a new friend also.
Well, and here's the other thing that I love about it, and you guys mentioned it in the different things that you describe that you make, is they're learning about healthy choices. And I know for my kids, hey, if they've got a choice to go to the sweets, they're going to go. And that's fine. You should enjoy some of the delicious things in life, but you should also know what some healthier choices look like and how that's going to work for you and your body. And I've been on a few sets in my day, certainly not as prolific as you guys in the acting world, but you get to those craft food stations and guess what? You could have whatever you want and you can make yourself sick in a hurry. But if you know what's going in your body, maybe you're a little more likely to make some good choices along the way too.
Yeah. Like, you know, when we make macaroni and cheese, sometimes people add eggs to it to thicken it up and all that. But she made macaroni and cheese and they use butternut squash instead.
She loved butternut squash. That was my favorite thing that we made.
Instead of the eggs, they use butternut squash. So sometimes when I'm standing there reading the menu, I'm like, no, I think not. I'll just say, good job, kids. But when they bring it out, I'm like, oh, this was actually great because, you know, it was creamy. And it's like going back to me saying it's stuff you would never think to add. Like, you know, to substitute eggs. Cause do you guys use eggs or eggs white?
We use eggs for baking.
Like sometimes.
We use eggs for baking and for breakfast.
Like okay.
Breakfast burritos, breakfast sandwiches, but mostly for baking.
Okay, so yeah, just the substitutes that they make, it's really cool. And I mean, I wouldn't have thought to use half of the stuff they use.
Oh, and as well as also when we do use our eggs, once we crack our eggs and put them in, since we use them as wet ingredients most of the time, when we do baking, when we put the eggs in, they don't let us
eat the stuff with the raw eggs.
They tell you,
you can know, like, you're allowed to try everything, but they tell you that there's certain stuff that you should not be eating raw.
Yeah, like, once.
You guys don't eat cookie dough?
No, because
once
the raw egg goes in, then you can't eat it anymore until you fully cook it, and then the eggs aren't raw anymore because salmonella.
Salmonella. I just learned that. Okay.
I was going to say, we're learning things as we go here, and that's the great thing about it. I know they were having a bit of a laugh at you, Sasha, a few minutes ago with respect to what you do during the classes, but I think that's something as a parent that is a welcome opportunity that we never think about. I know when I'm putting my kids in activities, I don't think about the time that I'm going to have
right, to
do what I need or what I want to do, which doesn't always materialize, as you know, as a parent. So how do you spend your time and how welcome has that been for you?
I like it. I actually had a friend and she went before Trinar, and that's another way that I found out about it. She had a 3-year-old that she put in at the time. And I was like, you're leaving your child for 3 hours. How could you? And she's like, oh no, I'm at the movies. I'm having brunch. I got to admit, the first couple of times I was like, now what do I do with my time now? You know, I'm sitting outside the window like, are you guys done yet? Counting down. But no, it's nice to at least take a breather. I'll probably sit there and watch them for a few minutes to see what they're doing, you know, with the setting up and stuff. But if not, I'll wander off to the movies. I might even go to the car and take a nap. But I'll go see whatever's on sale around the area, sneak off to Dreamscapes without Trinard. And They have that little Dreamscapes place right next to it with the VR stuff. Or just sit down and read a book. So it's nice just to have, because the same way you were saying, how do they get socialized and how to get, you know, outside of the house, we have to remember to take that time for ourselves too. So I'll find something for me to do on my own.
It's a really good point, and one that we as parents, I don't think of often enough, because like most parents, you put your children first. Now that we've talked about Little Kitchen Academy, this is the one question that gets asked to every single guest on this podcast. So I'm going to ask it right now, and we're going to go youngest to oldest in order here. So, Trenard, we'll start with you, and then we'll go to Brooklyn, and then we will go to Sasha. What is the one ingredient that is always in your kitchen, and why?
Okay, an ingredient that's always in our kitchen is, I would have to say, maybe an ingredient that's always in our kitchen is... we always use vegetables. Vegetables is what's always in our kitchen. Because we use them for many different things, so we always keep it in the kitchen.
That is an extremely healthy choice and a great answer. Brooklyn, what about you? For you, what is the one ingredient that's always in your kitchen and why?
I like a lot of sweets, as I talked about before, so mine would be cinnamon. I like cinnamon on everything, sometimes in my cereal. Or just like random, I just put it in anything. It's tasty.
I love it. And that is a multiple answer in this question throughout this podcast. Someone else chose cinnamon earlier in a podcast edition. All right, Mom, your choice.
I would say peanut butter, because I mean, we always have to have a good peanut butter and jelly sandwich, or peanut butter and carrots, or Brooklyn makes really good peanut butter cookies from pretty much just peanut butter and sugar. So peanut butter is always here. Yes.
I love it. All three great choices that I endorse wholeheartedly. Now, who's the best cook in the house now?
I guess I'll give it to him.
Trenard, you're saying you're the best cook in the house now?
Yes.
Are you?
Why would you say you're better than Mom and your sister?
She cooks spaghetti a lot. I love it.
You can never
go wrong with spaghetti. But
where we hide those vegetables he was talking about.
I'm just much better.
Sandwiches. A specialty of sandwiches.
I make her fried egg sandwiches every single day for breakfast. Oh, and me, I could also make relish hot dogs. I'm very good at cooking in the kitchen because of Little Kitchen Academy. They teach me a lot of different recipes, and I use the recipes at my home, and I make my recipes much better than Brooklyn. But when I bake, I'm not selfish, so I would love always to do different type of things with my sister.
We recently made a red velvet cake.
We debated over if we should do red velvet or Oreo. We ended up doing red velvet, but we will do Oreo next time.
It's so funny because he'll cook stuff and then he'll be mad when we eat it all. Like, who ate all that? We're supposed to eat it. He made banana bread not too long ago and literally it was gone.
So what I do is I would make it and then it would be dessert. If we already have dinner, I'll bake the thing and it'll be dessert. And then it's gone.
It was gone by dessert. We saved his piece for him to enjoy during dessert. Ours was gone.
Theirs was dinner. It was supposed to be dessert, but theirs was really dinner. They did not wait at all to eat it. Nope. They didn't even eat their salmon. They just ate the dessert instantly.
I can't blame them though, because you guys all know this, that there's nothing quite like that smell of fresh banana bread in the house.
We weren't even trying to eat it. We were doing like, you know, oh, they pick a little piece and yeah, it was gone.
They picked a lot of pieces.
Sorry.
It just couldn't resist the taste of my beautiful banana bread.
That was like a toast to the chef. Like, wow, bravo.
We're testing it.
It's gone.
They just couldn't resist the taste of my amazing banana bread.
Yes.
It's very true. And that is a tip of the cap to the chef every single time when every last morsel has been gobbled up. You're actually lucky that they saved you a piece, Trenard. Now, with everything that you guys have going on, I know there's more Little Kitchen Academy in your future. What's up in the near future? Are you guys working on anything right now? Do you have designs on something that you're going to be doing in the very near future?
Most likely, I'm going to be acting, like on different things, like music videos, shows, commercials, but actually, my birthday is on March 15th, so I'm going to be celebrating in March many different things, you know, because it's going to be my birthday. I'm going to go to golf and stuff, and I'm going to do a lot of things in March.
Is there any more Abbott, or the season's over?
Oh, Abbott's on a hiatus.
okay.
I will do Little Kitchen Academy much more, though.
Yes.
And there's far more Little Kitchen Academy for me.
He does the weekend classes with Little Kitchen because, like I said, with his week, we'll never know when he's going to be filming. So we always do the weekend classes for both of them. The teens classes are weekends, and then he'll do the weekend classes also.
What about you, Brooklyn? What do you have coming up? Do you have any projects you're working on or anything you'd like to be a part of in the near future?
I would like to be a part of, maybe after Abbott is done with their hiatus, I would like to be on Abbott Elementary or just any different commercials. Or with my free time, though, I just want to watch movies, be a part of movies and watch some movies.
There you go. They keep mentioning commercials because those are so much shorter on the filming days. So that's why
I need more car commercials.
I want to do a Disney movie.
We're going to work on it.
Disney
yeah.
show, anything.
A cooking show? We're working on that also.
Oh, yeah. What happened to I Draw You Cook?
We're working on it.
I was going to make a spaghetti tower, spaghetti cake, spaghetti. I was going to have them.
Give it all away.
I was going to make them make everything.
Do you watch that show, spaghetti I Draw car. You Cook?
I have not seen that show, but now I'm going to look it up because you mentioned it.
It's pretty fun. They have kids come in and they draw stuff, and then they have a cook who has to basically cook whatever the kid drew. So it's, you know,
rainbow
kids.
Spaghetti,
yeah.
Dessert, tacos.
The kids come with some pretty crazy stuff, but it's kind of cool to see how they make it work. Yeah, and then they let the kids eat it at the end.
So speaking of dessert tacos, as Brooklyn said, at Little Kitchen Academy, we actually made dessert tacos for April Fool's.
Mm-hmm, I remember
they were
that.
Prankster tacos, and, like, literally everything. It was a savory taco. Like, literally everything was nothing that was actually in a real taco.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the ingredients, most of them, for the regular beans, there was black beans.
Black jelly beans.
Black jelly beans. Correct.
Yeah.
I forgot that they're black beans. And then there was basil leaves.
That's the lettuce or the cilantro, right?
The lettuce. And then, no, yes, the cilantro. Well, one of those. And then we had whipped cream as the sour cream. We had strawberries. There was so much different things. And then, so for our shell, we actually coated it with cinnamon.
They had the taco shells basically made out of the cannoli dough. Is it dough?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're really good.
I'm sure they were. It sounds like everything you bring home is really good.
Exactly.
Everything you're describing is making me hungry. It's probably the same for your sister and for your mom. So guess what, Trinard? I think you're making lunch today.
Yes. What are you going to make us?
What y'all want?
Oh, we're going to make a list right now.
I want to eat the rest of our cake we made.
Oh, yes. We gotta put the freaking frosting.
I'm fine without frosting. I eat frosting by itself, so...
One thing that I do love about Little Kitchen Academy also is with them setting up their own stations, like he mentioned earlier, they take them down and then they clean up and then they wash their own dishes.
Aspect.
That's the best part. They do learn the full process of working in the kitchen.
A lot of dishwashing.
Oh, and also,
yes,
in the kitchen for safety, they don't want us to run so we don't fall because in the kitchen there's a lot of sharp things that we could fall on and things like that. And also, if the ground is wet, they want us to walk slow or either walk the other way.
Tell him about how, at the end, don't you guys pick something to donate to?
Yes.
Pick a foundation.
So we pick a foundation, and I always choose one tree. I always choose One Tree Planted because I like birds and squirrels. I like a lot of, like, nature animals. Well, animals are from the nature. You know, I like a lot
Save
of animals.
The world. Yeah.
I like everything, so I always choose One Tree Planted.
One Tree Planted is the name of the foundation?
Yes, because every little coin that they give you and you donate it, that's an extra tree.
We need that.
Yes.
Yes, we do. Well, that's fantastic. I'm so impressed with not only all of the things that you both have accomplished, but how much of it you've retained as well. It's incredible, quite frankly. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to meet you and your family today, Sasha. This has been wonderful. Thank you very much for this conversation.
Thank you for having us.
This is my first time ever doing a podcast, so thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you to everybody who sees it, and thank you for having us here.
Meet Me in the Kitchen is curated and produced by Toolkit Content. You can find more information about Little Kitchen Academy, including classes, locations, employment, and franchise opportunities at littlekitchenacademy.com. What's the one ingredient that's always in your kitchen?